Thanks, Mariana. I scared her with a very large reading and then only gave her 7 verses. Well, today, well, we have been so far going through the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is primarily a story of what happened through the early church. Now, I know I like to, and we can often get easily caught up trying to analyze a story and glean from it the important pieces of information, but it's written as a narrative, a story, so we can experience it, we can learn a different type of information from it. So I'm going to tell you the story of this next part of Acts as a story. Now, I've added things to explain or draw out things that would have been obvious to someone in the first century, but is probably not very obvious to us. So your job today is to hear the story as a story. And then I'm going to ask you some questions at the end. Well, I'll have them up on the board, and I'll get you to get into groups with the people around you, have a short time of reflection, then get into groups and answer the questions. Now, they'll be pretty simple questions. There's no set right or wrong answers. There'd probably be a wrong answer, but you'd have to go pretty crazy to get wrong. But the questions will be simple. It'll be, what struck you about this story? What is this story telling you about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit? And what does this story mean for me and my life? So I'll put them up at the end so you don't have to frantically try to remember them now. But today we're going to hear the story and see what that means. We're going to be looking at the continuing and increasing persecution of the early church, and we're going to look at the story of a young man named Stephen. Now, the disciples have been tasked with being witnesses of the gospel through all Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So far in the book of Acts, we have seen the disciples work mainly in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came down upon them, and they have been preaching the gospel boldly. The Holy Spirit has also been performing wonders and healing people, and multitudes have been added to their number. But this has not happened without struggle. The early church have already faced troubles from inside their community and outside it. The temple authorities have quickly taken notice of them, and they continue to try to squash them through threats. And last week, we saw them arrest the apostles, warn them, beat them, and then send them away, trying to make the Sadducees and the rest of the Sanhedrin, the council of the temple, see that Jesus was the Christ, and they killed him. Now, they're not trying to tell them this to get them in trouble or to overthrow their power, but to offer them the gift of repentance and forgiveness so they can be part of the forever kingdom that Jesus is building, the one that they themselves have been waiting for. But their desire for honor and status simply cannot allow them to accept this truth. Meanwhile, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God and ruling and continuing the work that he started in his earthly ministry through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we rejoin our story this week, there is trouble in our community of believers, a community that is usually marked by unity, shared possessions, and worship. And this community has been made up of a very diverse set of Jews. Now, at Pentecost, there were Jews from all over the known world that had come to be part of that feast. So when they heard Peter preached, lots of them got baptized and joined the community of believers. So their community is full of Jews from all over the known world. But people being people means that there is still racial factions even within their united community. There is a tension arising between the Greek-speaking Jews and the Hebrew-speaking Jews. Naturally, the Hebrew-speaking Jews felt they were much superior and much more closer to the traditions of their fathers. Now, this meant that when they would distribute food, the Greek-speaking widows were receiving less than the Hebrew-speaking ones. So they came to the apostles, and the apostles called all of the disciples together and said, "We cannot neglect teaching the word of God to serve tables. So pick from amongst yourselves seven of our brothers of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom to do this. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and serving the word of God." This was a pleasing solution. So they gathered and chose seven men. Among them was Stephen, a very faithful man filled with the Spirit. And they set him before the apostles and prayed for them and laid hands on them. And it seems that Stephen and the rest of the seven men were successful in what they were doing, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem, including a great number of priests. So the first step in their plan to be witnesses of the resurrection in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth had been completed. They had been witnesses in Jerusalem. And as a young leader, Stephen just continued to blossom. He became like the prophets of the Old Testament, and he was full of grace and power and was doing great signs among the people, and he was teaching them the gospel. Amongst his Greek-speaking community, there was a synagogue made up of former slaves from across the empire. Now, lots of them came to Jerusalem after being freed from Cyrene and Alexandria, Sicilia and Asia, and they found it hard to be taken seriously in Jerusalem. They often found their customs and their culture at odds with the temple authorities because they just weren't Jewish enough. But now they had Stephen coming amongst them and preaching things that were outright banned by the temple authorities. They tried arguing and fighting with him, but when he spoke with wisdom and with the Spirit, and all their opposition just fell flat. They became angry and scared. So they got together some men to start spreading rumors about him. They were telling people that he was speaking blasphemous lies about Moses and God. And rumors got people riled up. And they got the elders and the teachers to grab him and bring him before the temple council. They threw him in the middle of 70 men. And then they sent false witnesses who claimed, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." They sent false witnesses to testify that Stephen was not keeping the law of Moses. False witnesses. So they broke the law of Moses in their defense of the law of Moses. But as they spoke, everyone in the council saw Stephen, and he had the face of an angel. The fight between the temple and their authorities had reached a climax. The disciples had been trying to make them see that God had sent them their Christ, and instead of following him, they killed him. Now he has been exalted to the right hand of God and sent his Spirit to empower people. So the temple is no longer where God dwells, but with his people. So the false witnesses spread their lies, but Stephen's face shines like Moses did after spending time with God. The high priest looks at the accusations, and then he looks at Stephen and says, "Are these things so?" And then Stephen says something like this: "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham and told him to go out from this land and his family and to the land that God would show him. He went out and moved to this land in which you are now living. But he did not give him this land to live in yet, but he promised it to his offspring, even though he hadn't had any children yet. God told him that his children would be aliens in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them for 400 years. But God, he would judge that nation and they shall come out into the wilderness and worship him in that place. And he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision to promise that he would do this. Then Abraham became a father to Isaac. And Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons who would become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. But one of his sons, Joseph, he was close to God and heard God in his dreams. But the other sons became jealous of him and rejected him, selling him into slavery. But God was with him and fulfilled his promise and rescued him from his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who made Joseph a ruler. And when famine came, our fathers, the heads of the 12 tribes, were afflicted and could not find food. They came to Egypt and were saved from their affliction through Joseph, the brother whom they rejected. They all lived in Egypt and multiplied as God promised Abraham that they would. But a king rose up who didn't know Joseph and dealt harshly with our ancestors, forcing them to reject their children, throwing them to the elements so that they would die. This was when Moses was born. And he was beautiful in God's eyes. When he was 3 months old, he was thrown to the elements, and Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own. He grew in wisdom and power and education. And when he was 40 years old, he visited his Israelite brothers, and he saw one of them being oppressed. Well, he rose up and struck down the Egyptian who was hurting him. But instead of his brothers seeing that Moses had come from God to save them, they didn't understand. He went back to them the next day, saw some of them fighting. Now, Moses got in the middle to stop them, but they said to him, "Who made you the ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" So Moses fled. They had rejected him also. But after 40 years, an angel appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Moses drew near the flame, and the voice of God came from the bush, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. I have seen the suffering of my people in Egypt and heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. I will send you to Egypt." So this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him at the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This Moses prophesied that God would raise up a prophet like him from among the Israelites. Despite all that God had done for them through Moses, while Moses was on Mount Sinai talking with the angel, receiving instructions about how he could build a tabernacle for God to dwell in amongst them, our fathers rejected him and God in their hearts. While Moses was up there, our fathers turned their back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us and lead us. Moses led us out of Egypt, but we don't know what's happened to him." So while Moses was receiving instructions on how they could worship and honor the God who rescued them and had always planned for them to meet here in this wilderness and worship him, they made a golden calf and offered sacrifices to it and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. So God turned away from them and gave them over to worship, the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Our prophets wrote about how our people didn't bring our God sacrifices during their 40 years in the wilderness. But with the tabernacle, They also brought with them the tabernacle of Molech and the star of the god Rephim, images that they made to worship. So God sent them into exile beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the presence of God with them in the tabernacle, and that was made according to the instructions that Moses was receiving on Mount Sinai. They brought it into the promised land after God fulfilled his promise to drive the nations out. His presence stayed in the tabernacle until David sought to build a temple for him. Solomon finally built a temple for the presence of God to dwell. But God does not, nor has he ever dwelt in houses made by men. Even Solomon acknowledged this when he built it. And as the prophet Isaiah says, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hands make all things?" God's presence has never been restricted by the temple and the people who run it. You are stubborn fools who serve God outwardly, but inwardly are corrupt. You have always resisted the presence of God, and now he is with us in the Holy Spirit, and you resist him still, just as your fathers did. Which of God's prophets did your fathers not persecute? They also killed the prophets who announced the coming of the Messiah, the righteous one whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You received the law as delivered by angels, and you did not keep it. By now the crowd was getting louder and louder. The men were pushing against each other, ready to lunge at Stephen once the council had made a ruling. They were spitting at him and shouting. Others had their teeth clenched and their fists tight. But Stephen was filled with the Spirit, and he had a prophetic vision. He saw into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, "Look, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." The crowd shouted over the top of him and clamped their fists over their ears. The line broke forward and the men rushed in over the top of him and dragged him out of the city. Stephen had shown them how Israel had always rejected and persecuted God's prophets. Then he had a prophecy. So they rejected and persecuted him. They threw him out into a rocky clearing, and the so-called witnesses to Stephen's crimes took their cloaks off because they were going to be the first to cast stones. They laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man who approved of their actions, a man named Saul, and they began pelting stones at Stephen. Stephen called out, "Lord, receive my spirit," just as Jesus had called out to God when he was on the cross. He fell to his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold their sin against them." And he fell asleep. From then on, the persecution of the church increased in Jerusalem, and Christians were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The apostles remained in Jerusalem. Devout men buried Stephen and lamented over him. The young man Saul continued to attack the church. He would enter house after house and drag men and women away and throw them in prison. But the gospel was now spreading to Judea and Samaria. Take a time to reflect, and then I'll get you to go into your groups. Father, thank you for Stephen and his example. Thank you that you've always had a way out for your people. Thank you that you sent Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to get into your groups and answer the questions. Okay. I'll stop you there, only for you to restart at morning tea. And I'll just close in prayer, and then David will come up and lead us in the last song. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's about real people, real events, people serving you, people loving and caring for each other in harsh times. And I pray, Lord, that we can let the story of Stephen affect us. Help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit like he was, and to serve you as best we can. So we go throughout this week, Lord, I pray that we'll have boldness and love and do all things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.